Morning. It's fantastic to be here in Dublin and in Europe. It's the start of a busy week for me to be traveling across the continent and talking about the Microsoft Cloud. But before I talk about the implications of this technology, I wanted to get to the very foundation of what drives everything in our company, which is our mission, which is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And when we talk about this mission, it's really the North Star that drives every decision we make. Every customer interaction, every product that we build is shaped by this mission. And there are many key parts to this. For example, we as a company care deeply about both people and institutions that people build in order to outlast them. Even in terms of a software construct for us, it's very important to think about organizations that people build. We, of course, think about this at a global scale. I myself am a product of that. We democratize technology. We make sure that it reaches every corner of the globe. And that's what led me to get to my first PC and then the rest of what I was able to achieve. But the last part is perhaps the most key defining characteristic of our company, which is we, of course, pursue to build world-class technology, but it's not our technology. It is about what happens with our technology in the hands of our customers, our partners, whether they be small business, multinational companies, entrepreneurs, or the public sector. How they can transform using technology and achieve more is at the center of who we are as a company. And going forward, that mission manifests in what is a very rapidly changing world. I describe it as this mobile-first, cloud-first world. We have a very particular point of view by what we mean by mobile-first, cloud-first. For example, when we say mobile-first, it's about the mobility of the human experience spanning all of the computing in our lives. It's not about the mobility of any single device. It's actually the mobility of your experiences across all of the devices in your life. And of course, the way to achieve that mobility, that seamless ability to move between devices and have your apps, have your data, have your experiences wherever you are, is only possible because of the cloud. So that's why both of these changes are happening at the same time. In fact, they reinforce each other. Even when we think about the cloud, we don't have a very narrow point of view of cloud. Cloud computing is not just a single destination. It is a new way of how compute, storage, and network come together and create, in fact, a new distributed computing fabric. So, for example, in our case, we are even building out our servers so that they're the edge of our cloud. That technological point of view or that worldview of technology is what's shaping how we're building out our cloud, how we are building out our applications in the cloud, like Office 365 and Dynamics, also how we're building out Windows 10 and devices. That's really at the center of how we think about our own technological ambitions. But ultimately, it's about the digital transformation that customers and partners and every organization that we work with will achieve through this technology. And to talk about that and Microsoft Cloud, what is important is to recognize the design point for the Microsoft Cloud. We're building it out as a global hyperscale cloud. We now have over 30 regions across all parts of the globe, making sure that there is access to the cloud. In fact, right here in Europe, we now have data centers in Ireland, we have data centers in Amsterdam, we have data centers in the United Kingdom, we have data centers in Germany, and this week we are also announcing the expansion into France. That is more regions than any other cloud provider right here in Europe. We've invested over $3 billion to really deliver this global scale cloud all across Europe. And in fact, just in the last year, the capacity has more than doubled. The second aspect that we are very focused on is trust. Not only are we building out this hyperscale cloud, but we're building out the hyperscale cloud so that it can address the legitimate digital sovereignty needs and other compliance needs of European countries. It's that real-world understanding of customer needs and needs of operating in various countries that has even led us to build out, for example, our German cloud with a model where we have a German trustee, in this case Deutsche Telekom, operating that cloud infrastructure. So trust and scale are some of the most important elements of our design point for the Microsoft Cloud. The last one, which is true support for distributed cloud infrastructure or hybrid, turns out to be perhaps one of the more unique points of view that we have in terms of how we think cloud computing will shape the future. I said earlier that we are building out our servers as the edge of the cloud, especially with the prevalence of IoT. As there is more and more data that gets generated in the edge, you will need more both storage and compute in the edge. So you cannot just have a throwback to just centralized computing anymore. You need true distributed computing fabric, and that's what we are building out through both Azure and Azure Stack. So these three aspects of building out a global, trusted, and hybrid infrastructure is what differentiates our approach to building out a public cloud. Now, of course, ultimately, the cloud is about powering the next generation of applications, especially at the infrastructure level. Throughout our history in computing, it is always the next generation applications that have driven infrastructure. And when we look at this current generation of applications that people are building, the thing that's going to define these applications, that characterizes these applications, is machine learning and artificial intelligence. And therefore, we are building out Azure as the first AI supercomputer. And what I mean by that is not only do you have the capacity when it comes to CPUs and your ability to run any compute job using virtual machines, whether they're Linux or Windows or containers, it is also supporting as first class some of the best GPU compute capacity. Because when you think about machine learning, especially deep neural nets, it turns out the GPUs are much better at really performance and scale for those algorithms. But we don't stop there. In fact, every compute node of Azure today, across all of our regions, has FPGAs. So that means you can take some of the code that you write, especially your neural networks, and distribute them to this FPGA fabric so that you can run them at the speed of silicon. And so this AI supercomputer gives you, at the core infrastructure level, amazing capacity to be able to transform your applications through the power of AI. And of course, we do this again in a very open way. That means we support all of the frameworks that you may want. We are developing our own framework called CNTK that allows you to have distributed neural networks across this fabric. But all the open source frameworks from TensorFlow to Caffe and others are all supported so the developers can bring in whatever frameworks, whatever code, and use this infrastructure. A second element to how we're building out this cloud is, besides the raw infrastructure I just talked about, we want to build these higher layer services that allow every developer out there to be able to build intelligence into their application. That means we have very robust information management solutions, big data solutions for you to be able to store and process petabytes and exabytes of data. But beyond that, we have some of the most capable services for you to be able to do advanced machine learning. The tool chain required for you to do at-scale machine learning. We also have today 22 APIs that expose some of the fundamental building blocks of any intelligent application. For example, something like speech recognition, or image recognition, or object recognition, knowledge, natural language processing. In fact, it turns out Microsoft today has the state of the art when it comes to speech recognition. Similarly, for object recognition, we recently, you know, had an announcement. We talked about the 152 layers of a neural net that does the best-in-class image recognition with an error rate of around 3.5%. Similarly, again, using reinforcement learning in deep neural nets, we improved the state-of-the-art around speech recognition to have an error rate of around 6.4%. These capabilities, though, are now just available behind a simple set of APIs so that every developer can use them through Cortana Intelligence Suite and these cognitive APIs. And another exciting framework that we see many developers take advantage of is the bot framework. We launched this at our developer conference a little less than 6 months ago. And since then, we've now had 45,000 developers use the bot framework to build these new kinds of applications. We believe, just like you built websites and you built mobile applications, every business is going to have a bot interface. Every business process is going to have a bot interface. And in order to be able to do that, you need to have a set of APIs and a framework that allows you to have conversational understanding. And that's what we've put in to the bot framework. So these higher level intelligence services is what makes it possible for any developer out there to be able to really build these next generation applications which are driven by intelligence. Another aspect of the cloud, beyond Azure and its infrastructure and its intelligence services, is Office 365. Office 365 is at the core of any organization's productivity and communications. And the idea of a cloud service here is not that we just do the same thing that we did in the client-server era, except that it's delivered on the cloud. It is actually much more than that. It is a fundamental change in how an organization now goes from just using any single tool for either communication or creation to using the data underneath all of these tools as the fundamental driver of their own productivity. For example, Cortana, which is the intelligent assistant, has the ability to reason over all of the information underneath Office 365 and help every individual user of Office 365 be that much more productive. Because in all this abundance, what's scarce is still time and attention. And that's where an intelligent agent like Cortana can fundamentally help you with your personal productivity. But it has access to all of this information inside of the organization, and is able to, in fact, reason about that as well as what it knows about the world and help you with your time and its allocation. And another tool that I love using internally at Microsoft even is to discover information as it's being created, called Delve. It's an information discovery tool that's built on the Microsoft Graph. So the transformation of your office productivity and communications tool to the cloud is not just a change in how we deliver this value in a cloud-centric way, but it's about changing this into a more of an intelligent service that allows you to take the data that every organization has and convert it into a new form of currency for how productive you are, how you collaborate, how you communicate, and how you create whatever product or service that you create. And another service that we are very, very excited about, again, very fundamental different approach, is Dynamics 365. One of the things that has always been our dream is how can we think about business process not as a silo, but as a continuum between your communications and productivity and business process. In fact, there's been this impedance that has existed between how you did sales or how you did customer service or how you did marketing from a process perspective and the fact that you dealt with your customers or your you know, customer service tickets in your communication tools. What if we could bridge these two worlds? And that's really what we are trying to get done with Dynamics 365. By building it such that it composes with your communication tools and productivity tools, will fundamentally transform how organizations can get more out of their investments across both Office 365 and Dynamics 365. Ultimately, having this Microsoft Cloud with its infrastructure and intelligence services, having your core backbone for your communications and productivity in Office 365, having Dynamics 365, give you the building blocks to achieve your own digital transformation. I said earlier, every company is becoming a digital company. That means it's no longer the case that you just build systems or you deploy systems. You are, in fact, creating your own digital feedback loop, whether you're a bank or a retailer or a healthcare provider, small business or large business, you are creating your own digital feedback loop that allows you, for example, to engage your customers across all channels, through your mobile apps, through your website, through social media, but you want to be able to have that 360-degree connection with your customers. You want to be able to empower every employee within your workforce with information, with data, and analytics. In fact, every organization is going to be measured by their ability to have predictive power and analytical power. That's going to be the new strength of any organization. Can you predict things better than the others? Can you analyze things faster than others to take action? And it only comes because of that digital feedback loop. Same thing with optimizing the operations. Especially, again, going back to IoT, the fact that you now have sensors in the case of manufacturing everywhere, you can do things like preventive maintenance. That means you can predict when failures happen and then start automating the field service that then takes care of that failure. And lastly, you can start changing the business model. It's no longer the case that digital business models are only relevant for software companies. Digital business models are relevant for every company. A manufacturing company that builds widgets with preventive maintenance is fundamentally shifting the gross margin from the thing to the service. And we see that repeated in every industry. And in fact, we are seeing perhaps the most unprecedented change in every vertical across every country, whether it's healthcare, whether it's manufacturing, or even very traditional industries like agriculture that are being fundamentally transformed by this notion of digital transformation, and in particular, the ability to create these feedback loops between data, the ability to do predictions, but more important than predictions is to be able to actually act on those predictions and change the service or the product and, of course, the margin structure. That is really at the core of what the cloud enables. So we've talked about that raw technology capability and then what it all means in terms of digital transformation. And when I think about how is this really going to diffuse through the world, I think obviously about the impact it's having in Europe. We see a very broad spectrum of uses, but it's not just use cases in Europe. It's in fact European companies that are impacting the world. As we have studied the diffusion of technology, it has always been about having world-class access to world-class technology and then your ability to create world-class technology on top of that that drives competitiveness. And talking about that, I wanted to actually talk about one company out of Switzerland, Terminos. They've done something which is very phenomenal in terms of democratizing access to banking. Banking software has always been something that only companies in the Western world with access to significant amounts of capital were able to afford. But now, when every person in the world does need a bank account, does need access to credit, because that's going to be the only source to growth, then you need to change the paradigm of what does it mean to even deliver the core back office banking software. And what Terminos has done is taken an approach where they use the public cloud to be able to transform banking all over the world. Let's roll the video to give you a feel for how they've gone about their approach.
Right now, there are 2 billion people who don't have access to basic banking. But that is changing.
At Terminos, we use the Microsoft Cloud to provide banking to the millions and millions of people who need it but don't have access to it. With the Microsoft Cloud, we can enable a banker to travel to the most remote locations with nothing but a phone and a tablet.
More and more people are getting access to credit.
Everywhere where there's a phone, you have a bank.
So now a person is able to start a business and generate an income and employ somebody for the first time, and you can actually see the success.
It's transforming our world.
The Microsoft Cloud helped us to bring banking to 10 million people in just 2 years. That's potentially 10 million new businesses.
Technology is about breaking down barriers, removing limitations so that every person has access to opportunity.
A small amount of money can change people's lives. It's very, very powerful.
So that was an example of a European company that is having impact all over the world using cloud technology. And I wanted to close out by talking about examples right here in Ireland of how you are taking advantage of the public cloud to really build, again, world-class technology right here as well as the world. I had a chance to meet with the Allied Irish Bank, the CIO and the CEO, and their forward-looking strategies in terms of how they're trying to transform the bank. Just again, the omni-channel access to the customer, whether it's in the retail bank itself, the online access to all of the banking functions, which is going through a huge increase in volume, all powered by the cloud. They, of course, have their own data centers, but they're also taking advantage of the public cloud in order to complement the increases in volume and service levels. Their entire backend for their mobile applications, for example, are built in the cloud. They're also equipping the entire workforce of the bank with Office 365 so that every employee inside of the bank can have access to data to the analytics can collaborate and communicate so that they can have a better service level. So that type of digital transformation is what is being achieved right here in the banking sector, but it's not just in the large banks, but even Cubic Telecom, which is a startup I had a chance to meet this morning, is taking the same approach in the sense of using the public cloud to transform, in this case, the auto industry. So it's a startup of 100 people today that has contracts with some of the largest auto manufacturers in Europe and elsewhere to connect every car to the cell phone network. And so they've built the control plane in the cloud, which makes it possible for automakers to be able to ship cars into different geographies with all of the different telecom providers that they need to connect with, which previously used to cost them a lot of money, but now, because of the innovation of this startup, are able to do that much more seamlessly. So that's a fantastic example of an Irish startup that not only has built something that is significant in Europe, but worldwide. And to me, any technology that does not fundamentally even impact our public sector organizations, that means the taxpayer money being utilized and spent so that it can benefit all the citizens, is sort of perhaps that ultimate test of whether technology is going to have that broad impact. And it was fantastic for me to learn about e-health in Ireland. Healthcare world over is a challenge in terms of our costs and service levels. And of course, increasing levels of digitization, how you connect the patients with the doctors, with the health record, so that especially at the most vulnerable moments, information can be helpful in finding the right service for you, is perhaps most critical in healthcare. And it's great to see this cloud-first strategy that you have adopted in Ireland and the progress that is being made. Everything from the devices the clinicians use to the back office infrastructure that's being put in place, how the general practitioners can, you know, tap into that. Really thinking of the entire ecosystem and the digital fabric that is being put in place. So these are three great examples of what I see as innovative work happening right here in Ireland. And when I look out into the future, it's this combination of what is enabled because of this infinite cloud infrastructure and new types of devices, whether it's IoT or a new medium like virtual reality and augmented reality. The coming together of these two is what's going to be transforming every walk of life in every industry. And for me, in particular, the combination of the cloud and something like HoloLens, which is about mixed reality, where you take something which is your field of view and transform it into an infinite display where you can superimpose what you see with digital objects, completely changes computing. Let's roll the video. We'll be right back. You know, when you change the way you see the world, you change the world you see. And I think that that video captures the essence of how new technology can be transformative. Architecture, industrial design, health education will not be the same. But I want to close where I started. With any new technology, like the cloud, one of the profound things that happens is change and rapid change and disruptive change. And so it is incumbent on companies like Microsoft and the broader tech community and governments to have that dialogue where we look at this new technology and ask ourselves that question of, is this technology truly going to benefit everyone on the planet? Is this technology that is helping solve some of the pressing issues, whether they be in education or in healthcare? And to that end, today we are launching this new book, A Cloud for Global Good, that is a concrete step that we are taking to propose a set of ideas, a set of policy considerations for the discussion, a broader discussion, so that we can come up with ways that these disruptive technologies can help global growth in a way that is more trusted, more responsible, and more inclusive. Because I think that that type of dialogue and that type of approach is what is needed with disruptive technologies. It's not about any one company or any one sector getting to the surplus, but it's about every part of the economy, every individual life being shaped by technology. And thank you very, very much for this morning, and I wanted to hand off to my colleague Brad Smith to talk more about A Cloud for Global Good. Thank you very much.